Hey, welcome to the Felt Recoil Podcast. This is episode 140. Can you believe that? 140.
Yeah, I don't know how we've done it.
Me neither.
But I'm proud of us.
Pretty close to 3 years worth at this point, my friend. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to you.
All right, back at you.
Chris and Patrick here every Tuesday for new episodes of the Felt Recoil Podcast. You can find more about us at FeltRecoilShow.com. If you haven't done so, I don't know how you get the podcast, but if you haven't subscribed, please do that. Leave a rating. Tell a friend. We'd appreciate it. A lot to get to on the show this week. Who would have thought that a Polish preacher in Canada would teach us all a little something about life? Got that audio here for you in a second. Major League Baseball runs scared from Atlanta, Georgia, while expanding business in China.
Shocker.
I want you to think about that for a second. That's probably my favorite thing. I mean,
them and everybody else, though, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Coca-Cola is from Atlanta. Are they leaving, too? I mean, they're tired of white people. And I've been to Atlanta, so they're in the right spot. But, I mean,
I see what you did there.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta is massively urban, so maybe that keeps them there. But, you know, they have a problem with the new Georgia election law. I heard Delta, Coca-Cola, and Major League Baseball have all made public statements about the oppression of this idea that you have to prove who you are before you can choose people who make the laws where you live. Interesting.
But Coca-Cola requires ID to get into their board meetings.
What? No.
Delta requires photo ID to get on their planes.
I would bet, call me crazy, that even just showing your photo ID is not enough to be allowed to drive by the home of the man that runs Coca-Cola.
You're probably right.
So.
And Delta, too.
Yeah. He's a moron.
Don't forget your will call tickets, though.
That's true. Try that out at the next Major League Baseball game.
You're going to need an ID for that.
Yeah. Excuse me. That's racist. You should try that. That's actually pretty smart. But
voting for the most powerful man in the world.
Don't.
Nah. We're good. We trust that guy. See that guy right there?
I think you're onto something
here. That guy that we won't give the tickets to just because he said he's somebody?
Yeah.
Let him do whatever he wants. Yeah, let him on in there. Let him vote three times.
I wonder what you could do video-wise. That's a brilliant video idea, to go to these Major League Baseball games and just say, "Hi, I'm here for my tickets. I was told they'd be at will call, and it's for four of us. So I'll need four of the tickets from will call." And when they say name, you go, I'm not going to provide that information. And then you just make a stink out of, "I'm sorry, are you saying I have to show photo ID to pick up tickets from will call?" "Well, I'll be.
You know somebody's already on that.
Yes, us. You just said it.
No, I mean like somebody's probably actually already done it.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Like a Crowder or somebody.
Probably in the works.
You're right.
All right, before we get too far into it, this week's charity of choice is Operation Underground Railroad, because I want to tell you a pretty cool story. OURrescue.org is the website. They save not just children. I tend to say children. They do save a lot of kids, but they save people, adults and children alike, all around the world from human trafficking. Tim Ballard, the founder of the organization, has a story up on his Facebook page right now where they were in Rio doing an operation. And one of the operators got food poisoning and stayed back at the hotel. And so a second operator stayed with him in case he needed anything. And that second operator happened to be a former Navy SEAL. And as they were in their room, they heard a commotion. And the SEAL came out to find that a mother was screaming for help because her two teenage boys had taken a kayak out into the ocean. They had gone beyond the breakers and fallen off. The kayak washed ashore empty. So the operator got on the kayak, rowed out to the breakers, and grabbed the two teenagers out of the water. It's a pretty heroic story if you want to look up Tim Ballard on Facebook and read it. Anyway, it's cool to think that they're over there saving people from slavery, and then also saving teenagers in a time of crisis like that. They've got photos of the mom coming over to thank them, et cetera, et cetera. So cool stuff. Anyway, if you don't know about them, they do seek out kids who have been abducted and are being sold for just evil, evil purposes, and they go and they get those kids back, and then they help rehabilitate the kids, teach them life skills in their aftercare program, which is actually a large portion of where your money goes. So learn more about them at OURRescue.org, OURRescue.org. Okay, let's go to Canada. This is 2 minutes.
Do I have to have a vaccine passport to go to Canada?
Typically you do, and I'm glad you said that, because let's read Justin Trudeau, is this Twitter? I think this is his tweet about COVID.
Is this Twitter handle Prime Minister Blackface?
Oh, no. No, it's not.
Should
it's
be.
It's not. Yeah.
It'd be a lot cooler if it was.
It would.
I mean, you know, own it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Nope. His Twitter handle is at Jermaine Trudeau. No, it's not. At Justin Trudeau, and the Jermaine is like, it's got that line through it. He would, because he's racist. Anyway, this is what he tweeted.
He goes by, like, T-Dog.
he probably tries.
Yeah.
He seems like the type that wanted people to call him JT, but nobody would, so he just gave up on it.
Yeah.
That's JT now, dog. All right, Justin. But JT, sure thing, man. You think you mind just saying it real fast so I know you understand where we're going with it? Like, that I want to be JT? No, I'm okay. All right, next time. And he walks off. That's how I view him being. Because he does seem like a turd. anyway, you know, I'd hate to live in Canada. We've talked about it before. Canada seems like a really, really terrible place. Seems beautiful. But just the laws are so oppressive. Free speech is not a thing. You can be arrested for saying things that the government doesn't approve of. You're not allowed into the country if you're at all critical of the religion of Islam, which of all the religions, that's one that is worth criticizing and asking a lot of just really important questions.
Would you like me to call your travel agent and go ahead and cancel that? Yeah. See if you can get your money back now? Because I feel like if you wait any longer, they're going to keep that deposit and... I think that, I mean, you haven't even gotten to number two on the list yet, and you're already disqualified.
I'm already out. I'm out. There's no reason to go to Canada. We have everything they have, but ours is better and freer. So anyway, I digress. Here's my point. Somebody should save the Canadian people from their leaders, and I think there's a guy that's about to start doing that. This is a tweet from Jermaine Trudeau, and it says, if your results come back negative for COVID-19, you'll be able to head home and finish your mandatory quarantine there. If your test results come back positive, you'll need to immediately quarantine in designated government facilities. This is not optional.
There's a name for that. Hang on. It's coming to me.
You'll get it. Starts with an A and a U.
Concentration camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
That's not soap. Don't go in there. And yeah, I'll tell you, that's the thing about it is this is on the doorstep of some really evil, evil stuff. Remember when Sarah Palin got so much grief for saying they were death panels? Like, Obamacare is going to set up death panels. They're going to decide who's worth the care and who's not. Now, that's already played out to be true. Those things are happening in the American health care system now. How much closer can you get than, oh, you're positive for this disease, this virus? It's not even a disease, a virus. You're very likely to survive, but guess what? Oh, well, off to the government treatment facility you go. Now, you might remember, by the way, my story of my grandmother who got the coronavirus.
I do, yeah.
And went to a government healthcare facility. I call it that because when you're on the government healthcare, the Medicare, Medicaid, whatever she's on, you have to go somewhere that takes it.
Right.
So now you're at a government healthcare facility. That's fair, right? I think that's fair. And they didn't give her any of her medications, the multiple medications she takes. And she came out of there immobile, delirious. So that's what the government does to you. Anyway, so there's Trudeau. Now, I give you all that as a premise to this Polish pastor who took this video himself and posted it on his YouTube channel, Faithwire. I believe maybe this is not his channel. I may have misspoke. Okay, yeah, Adulam Church. Anyway, his name is Artur, A-R-T-U-R, Pawlowski, P-A-W-L-O-W-S-K-I. I think I got that right. And Faithwire is the YouTube channel that shared the video that Pastor Pawlowski posted. Now, it's 2 minutes, but you're not going to want to stop listening. It won't even feel like it. Listen to this guy.
Please now, get out.
All right, let me set the scene. This man is walking up. There's a health inspector to his right. She's got a face mask on. There's one, two, three police officers at least there as well, and then two more health inspectors. You have a cop and a health inspector at the top of a staircase, and then two health inspectors and two more cops at the bottom of those stairs, and he is headed at them. He's going to confront them here. Listen to him.
Immediately get out. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 Out of this property immediately. Out. Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't want to talk to you. Okay. Not a word. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out. Out. Out of this property, you Nazis. Out. Out. Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out. Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without the warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without the warrant. Do not come back without the warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communists, fascists. Don't you dare coming back here. Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover. The holiest Christian festival in a year, and they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable. What is wrong with those sick psychopaths? It's beyond me.
All right.
I'm a little unclear.
Yes.
At exactly how he felt. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It does make you feel like it'd make a great moment to have been there and just be able like, it's like, what's up?
What happened?
I think you're allowed to say how you feel. I'll tell you, a Polish man calling somebody a Nazi, that actually carries some weight. It's not like Antifa out in the streets
right. Saying,
punch a Nazi.
Throwing around willy-nilly.
Yeah, this guy, his people know.
Yeah.
They know what happens. So very fun. I do need to say, by the way, I wish we were on camera. We bought our kids a pool, like a kid-sized pool, a 10x10 pool. It's like 3 feet of water in it, you know. My oldest son got in it.
With a high dive?
With a high dive.
All right.
We're going to weed him out. My oldest son got in it, and we put an inflatable in there. It's just much too big for it, but it's fun because it's in there. And he laid on that inflatable. Nobody else was in there. It was just him. And at the peak of the heat of the day, he's in that thing with his head back. He just closed his eyes, and he was floating and enjoying it. And you had the same look on your face listening to that guy. I look over, and your eyes were closed, and your head was back.
I was feeling it,
and
man.
It just felt like you were in a zen state.
I kind of was.
As this man was punching out some Nazis.
I mean, sometimes you got to tell them to get out.
He really did. I hope I have that courage.
But you know,
if it ever comes down to it,
I think what I was thinking in that moment of bliss was, this is exactly what it's going to take.
Yeah.
To stop this insanity.
Right.
It's going to take people actually saying they've had enough and putting their foot down.
Yeah.
And telling people to leave.
Right.
These people that want to come in, and it's been a couple of instances of this, I think, a synagogue in New York City,
mm-hmm.
Where they came in trying to, it was like make up laws. They were like citing codes that didn't exist, and they basically got called on it.
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, it's anonymous, right? It's anonymous. It can't be anonymous. You need to know your accuser. You need to know it cannot be anonymous.
You got to go get a warrant.
It cannot be anonymous.
You got to go get a warrant.
You don't get to violate the policies. You don't get to violate the Constitution. It does not matter. You don't circumvent or subvert the Constitution.
Now, this is the states, obviously.
You need to leave.
But this is months ago.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening is we're being force-fed the narrative that this is the, you know, we're in the midst of this great pandemic.
Right.
Everybody's dropping like flies, which we see is proven not to be the case.
Yeah.
I
mean, I have people I've had my eye on. When's that guy going to get it?
Well, no, in all seriousness, where are all of the politicians and the famous people dying left and right?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be happening.
Yeah, they lost a couple of politicians. That younger guy in like his 30s.
A few.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say none, but
right.
if it is on the scale in which we're to believe,
right,
then we should see an equal proportion of the population in
right.
all of these segments of society.
What a world.
Having the same effect, but we don't see that. Mm-hmm. Just saying, that seems a bit odd.
Yeah, it really has made us worse people. It's made businesses worse, right? Everybody's lazy now because of, we've hit on that too many times to repeat it now. But now we really treat each other like breathing the same air is an offense. That's literally what we're doing.
Well, we've almost criminalized, you know, people for being well.
Right, yeah.
Which is so funny. I mean, it's just strange. It's strange to me how, I guess, the media and its, you know, unquenching thirst to push the narrative has filled everyone's head
yes.
to the point where people believe that guy over there that's not wearing a mask might kill me.
Right.
For not wearing a mask.
I'm going to catch it and I'm going to die. Or I'm going to give it to some old frail person and kill them, and then that's on my conscience. Like, it's an amazing feat of mental gymnastics, the way the media and the government have worked in tandem to convince everybody that they have to do exactly as they're told, or they'll be responsible for, as you're pointing out, the deaths of untold countless thousands of people. It's all on you. Unless you act like a complete and utter douche towards everybody around you over something that's not likely to negatively affect your life.
Right.
Right. You get sick for a few days. It's terrible. My dad told me it's the worst sick he's ever felt. I get it. I don't want it. But I'm also not going to be a terrible person because I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. I will forgive everyone for their coronavirus panic and the way they're treating people like me who don't wear masks out in public. I'll forgive those people if and only if we reach the time, even if it's during the pandemic. But if I come across someone smoking in public and that mask Nazi doesn't run over and smack that cigarette out of their hand and scream at them about exposing everybody to death rays or whatever it is, then at least I'll feel like they're consistent, right? Like, here's an actual killer of people right? Secondhand smoke and being the primary smoker, this contributes to death all the time. It's not always the main factor, by the way.
Although, not a contributing factor in COVID deaths.
What?
Figure that one out.
Yeah, obesity is, right? Which, by the way, that's the largest contributing factor, right?
Most 80% of those hospitalized.
Okay, there you go. Are obese, right? So you're telling me China didn't invent this virus to get right. America? You got all the skinny people over there, okay? Not by choice, by the way, because all the government people are fat and happy.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're literal communists. So you got them, but then they look at America and they go, man, America's got a weight problem. Okay. What could we do that obesity would be the factor that could be the death knell?
Kill all the fatties.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no such thing as a coincidence. And now we know. They're not even trying to hide anymore.
I see your logic.
Yep.
And I like it.
Because it's right.
I'm buying what you're selling.
Because it's right.
Hey, let's play a game real quick.
All right, quickly.
We played it. Sorry.
It doesn't even have to be quick. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. You said, let's play a game quick.
We're up against a hard break. I didn't even know we did those. All right, cool.
Computer's going to cut you off. It's not my fault.
Well, that has happened before.
Yeah.
Many episodes where we've just talked into mics without it recording. Little did we know. Yeah. Make sure you pay for the Patreon. Anyway, so let's play a game.
What are we, Mac? Military Arms Channel now?
Maybe.
Give us your Patreon money.
We're not hitting on bimbos on Instagram yet. So
I was about to say, sitting around hitting on Insta chicks.
So about a year pay ago, the bills. About a year ago, give or take a few weeks, you and I had a discussion where we talked about the fact that this. So we saw the numbers on the news were escalating. I was reading off the CDC, Johns Hopkins numbers off their little infographic that they had going. It was like real-time cases, and you're seeing the little splotches all over the country start to pop up, and everything's shut down. You and I were still doing our thing, and we were having some discussions about how many people do you know that have it.
Yeah.
And for, I think, several weeks there, you nor I knew anyone that had it.
Yeah. Couple of people.
Despite the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well,
we had a coworker get it.
We did have a coworker. That was the first person I knew.
Yeah.
RIP. I'm just kidding. He just doesn't work there anymore.
Well, wait, now it is important though. That was the that set a tone for us.
Sure.
Because coworker got it. Everybody's panicked over it.
Yep.
And so we go, oh man, he's got it. Like, are we gonna get it? Okay, now maybe we need to think about how serious it is. And he was already better.
Yeah, because you're an idiot, first of all, and you let him come into our office and touch all of our stuff.
That is true.
And then I thought that that was going to somehow kill my wife and child. So,
it's true.
Because, again, to go back to the narrative that I can't seem to escape, everything that you touched was going to kill you.
I can tell you, you're not exaggerating fully here. I had a new rifle that the people at work were looking at.
Yes.
Because it had been painted. It was a cool rifle. And he was one of them. And he handled it in the middle of everybody handling it. And I came home.
Only you would pick a coronavirus-themed rifle, though, right?
Coronavirus, right. That's right.
I tell you.
It was a Mandalorian-themed rifle, which is important because I brought it home to show my kids. And I said...
Not after... Literally everyone at work had
everybody at work had already touched it,
shouldered it.
Yep. Went right back in the bag.
Including myself.
Brought it home. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
And then they handled it, and I took pictures of them with it because I thought it was really cool, by the way. The rifle was so well done that when I brought it home and I showed my son, who was 5 at the time, I said, just look at it and tell me what it reminds you of. And as soon as I opened it, he said, oh, Mandalorian. And it was just the color scheme. There was no, like, picture of him on it or anything. It's just the colors. So that's how well they did with that rifle. CMB quality coatings, by the way, out of Savannah, if you want to look them up. Point being, they handled the rifle, and I think that night or the next day, we found out he had COVID, But he had tested positive, but he was already feeling better. And the whole point is that there was a conversation in my house about, hey, a guy handled that rifle. They're saying it lives on surfaces for 3 to 5 days, whatever it was at the time. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Fauci.
72 weeks.
What do we do?
That's what they said. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I think that's what he's saying. We have to wear masks for now, something like 3 years. So, that's where we were. That was our headspace at the time. That was for real.
So very few people that we knew had it.
Uh-huh.
He might have been the only one there for a little while. But we kept seeing the numbers grow. And now I'm told we're into the fourth wave. That was a thing I heard today.
Was this a tsunami?
Apparently, yes. Okay. Tsunami of economic disaster.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a second and a third wave. I thought it was just one pandemic. I didn't know that we had varying levels of disaster we were in.
Right.
Kind of harkens back to like the George W. days where we had like the terror code system. I'm surprised they haven't rolled that back out.
Right.
Before COVID. Your virus alert level is now red or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's like a smog alert in LA.
Yeah.
That's how much COVID's in the air today.
So being is that allegedly cases are on the rise again and we're in the fourth wave, my question to you, the game I want to play is, how many people do you know right now that have it?
That have it.
Have it.
I think zero.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the number of those who have had it,
sure,
is exponentially higher.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and I won't discount that. I'm not saying anything about any of this to make light of it. I know people that have been very sick. I know at least two people. One person that I was relatively close with, coworker, and then a family friend, a guy that worked with my dad for 30 plus years. They were both hospitalized for very long times with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, can be very serious.
But that doesn't, I see what you're saying. But I think the point you're concluding to here is none of that changes the fact that the narrative is so overblown.
Right.
People are going to get really sick with these viruses that go around, but it happens. I know it's ubiquitous. Everybody says it. You've probably heard it too much. It's cliche at this point. But it's the same the flu gives us every year.
Yep.
Different strain that affects people in a different way. It makes people very, very sick. I don't think people understand, by the way, this vaccine is not a vaccine. This is like an annual shot you have to get, I'm learning.
That is, and I think that's, I feel like maybe we weren't given the full scope of what it was, because that's Fauci's sort of shtick, right?
He
moves the goalposts, admittedly.
Yes.
So he has perpetually, through this entire thing, changed whatever it is to suit the narrative, I think, to keep the fear at a certain level,
mm-hmm.
to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think this is another one of those things where we're in the fourth wave, whatever the hell that means.
Right.
And now this is, we have to treat it just like the flu, because there's going to be continual variants of this thing forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
So we're just going to have to keep getting a new shot every year.
No way.
But how does that work? Because they guess at what strain of flu is going to make the rounds each year. And sometimes they roll the dice and they're wrong. And that vaccine doesn't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me the flu vaccine, which has been around as long as I can remember, probably much longer, they can't get that right every year?
Right.
But we got this thing knocked out like 8 months, and we're going to keep doing that every year?
Right.
And it's going to somehow be this miracle for us? I just don't see it.
Here's something I can tell you for sure. I'm not going to get a vaccine that might kill me. I don't care if it's a 1% chance. I don't care if it's a 0.5% chance. When the odds of your body naturally defeating COVID are so, so high, why introduce any sort of risk of death? Right? Like,
well, but it reminds me of every pharmaceutical commercial on TV.
Yeah.
Where the side effects sound exponentially worse than whatever it is you're trying to cure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you got a little rash on your skin? Well, this gives you diarrhea, your eyes bleed, your ears fall off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Hey, if you've ever seen the documentary Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, there's a, nope, wrong documentary. Hold on. Nope. That was the other one. You hear the GoPro, by the way? Did you hear that?
I did.
I have a GoPro sitting on the desk.
It's for our Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
Now, the GoPro is sitting on the couch. Chris just hurled it across the room.
GoPro, make a decent product. Just one. I'm so tired of the GoPro.
What's their stock at right now?
I have no idea.
Do people even still buy it?
I could look, I guess.
That might be the next GameStop. Like, it's so far in the toilet because everything they make is garbage.
They just don't. I don't feel like my GoPro ever works right. The naming convention of the files when it saves is terrible. The battery life is questionable, Chris, if you ask me.
Do you remember the time you and I were flying a drone and we turned a GoPro on?
And it crashed.
And the Wi-Fi signal from the GoPro crashed the drone?
So they say.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was enough GoPro for me.
GoPro's at $12.58 a share. Man, that'd have been a smart buy.
That's all time high, though.
That's a smart buy back in March, though. Holy moly. 3 year, let's see. I mean, 52 week high of $13.79. This is 3 years ago. It's higher now than it was 3 years ago.
Okay. Take it back then.
3 years ago, it looks like it was probably around $12 a share. If I'm reading this chart right.
All three of the people that listen to the show should not take stock advice from me.
I wouldn't buy a GoPro if they weren't like really the only viable option. Anyway, what point was I trying to make before my GoPro interrupted me?
I don't know, but I'm sure it was salient as always.
It was probably something really, really smart, and now I've lost it. We were talking about the narrative shifting. Fauci being a criminal.
Yearly vaccines.
How you're not going to take the chance when you might die to get a vaccine to combat something you'll probably survive anyway. It changes your DNA. That's weird. It's an annual shot. You don't just get it once. And from what I hear, a vast majority of the people that are getting it, I know where I was going with this, by the way, the vast majority of the people are getting pretty sick over the second dose. They're really feeling the symptoms.
The AstraZeneca version has been outlawed in like 20 countries now.
Yeah, for blood clots, right? You can get really crazy diseases from vaccines. I'm not anti-vax, but I'm just telling you, things can happen to your body. You can be debilitated for the rest of your life because of a vaccine. There's legitimately a thing that happens to people. Crazy and sad, but it's true. So I don't think anybody needs to run out and pump this stuff into themselves until we pump it into enough chimpanzees that we know exactly what's going to happen. But.
And that's, I guess I'm with you on that. That's kind of my take too, is I'm certainly not anti-vaccine, but I'm not sure I understand. Like, is there another common vaccine out there that we take or give our children that alters their DNA?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of one.
And if somebody told me that was the case.
So that seems to me, like, just thinking logically, that seems like a very drastic measure, right?
Right. Sure.
And then you sort of extrapolate that into just, like, daily life. There's all these yuppies and hippy-dippy people that don't want anything GMO, and they're all shopping at Whole Foods.
Right.
So you don't want to buy a banana that's been genetically modified, but you'll go get this shot?
Yeah, but you will genetically modify.
What are we talking about? Yeah. What are we talking about? Yeah. Put the gelato back.
Yeah. Okay? No, don't.
All right, you can keep the gelato. Thanks.
Appreciate it. We live in a crazy upside-down world, don't we? It's crazy. And nobody, none of these people are disciplined enough to be principled about it. You know, they all have their hypocrisies and their things they can't live up to because they want to act like they're on the moral high ground. But then they turn around and they do all the little things that make no sense at all. No sense at all. All right, quick break. We'll come right back for more of the Felt Recoil Podcast. That's the funky music bringing us back.
Yeah, it is.
My kids will play podcast on the board, and they put their music in. They do little podcasts. Should let them fill in 1 week. We get stuff going on.
Yeah, it's an excellent idea.
I say this out loud, by the way, that my son gives me podcast things to talk about. Yeah, we mentioned that.
We talked about that the other week. What was your advice tonight?
I like that. I didn't get any tonight.
Yeah.
Usually, like if I tell him, yeah, you know, I'm headed downstairs and Mr. Patrick and I are going to do the podcast. He'll go, oh, you know what you should talk about? Pools. That would have been his thing tonight. But I didn't. Tonight we played Monopoly Junior and they went to bed. Okay, welcome back to the Felt Recoil Podcast.
I think we should get him some topics.
And make him
go
on and on about it.
Flip it on its head.
I would like that. Come on down here and wax eloquently. Mister, here's what you should talk about. By the way, in reference to the commercial, you really should. If you're looking to do a podcast, you should do a podcast. Doesn't matter what's on your mind. Let me give you a little bit of free advice that you didn't ask for. So take it or leave it. If you're trying to venture out and do something, you want to start your own business, podcasting makes you a de facto subject matter expert. Just by the fact that you do it, people feel like, well, they know enough about it to tell me about it, ergo, they're an expert. Promise, it's true. So think about it. And if you do it, go to anchor.fm to do it. They give you a lot of breakdowns. For instance, I can look at our dashboard right now and tell you the average age of our listeners. I can tell you how many people are downloading. I can tell you their gender. By the way, 62% male, 38% female. No non-binaries.
Well,
it's legitimately something Anchor
we gotta fix
wants
that,
you to be aware of. Yeah.
Can't let that go.
And you can see where they're listening, what platform they're using to listen, geographically where they're listening. So in order, we go United States, Colombia, Germany, Canada, Russia. Mm-hmm. We see you, Trump. Ireland, New Zealand, Singapore, on and on it goes. Those people love us. So Anchor is pretty cool. They do it right. So
I'd just like to add to your point about it making you a de facto expert. If you don't believe that, you can rewind the show, listen to that last segment where I'm railing on about vaccines, and just know that I went to school with Dr. Fauci.
So smart.
Yep.
So smart. I want to tell you that today I experienced something that, you know, sometimes you have those experiences in life where you witness something and you say to yourself, as long as I'm never that person, I'll be all right.
Yeah, it's called deja vu.
Deja vu. I thought you were going to say, yes, it's called every Monday when I come here and listen to you. As long as I'm not that person.
I've worn that joke out.
No, I don't think you can. I went to Walmart. Okay. I go to Walmart.
Free license, just so you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing it. Then.
You got it.
All right.
All right. You're so clever.
Idiot.
Have you ever gotten like topsoil or mulch from Walmart? Any of those things, how Walmart leaves it out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And you go in and you pay for however many you need, and then you go out and load your vehicle with it. You ever done that?
Six times as much as you paid for. Yeah, every time.
Every time. After work today, I went by Walmart and got some topsoil. We were putting that pool in the backyard. And I wanted our backyard's kind of a slant. So I wanted to attempt to even it out in an area. I did not do it right, so we are going to have to do it again. I really thought I had enough, but I didn't like, you know, what's it called? What's the surveyor tool called? Anyway, I didn't get that thing out, the abacus or whatever it is.
Get your sexton out?
Yeah, there it is. I didn't get the sexton out and like, there it is, I got it. No surveyors were on the property. I just eyed it, and it looked good. We were all saying, you know, the boys, my 8-year-old and I, it looks like it's going to work.
Like you have this big consensus.
We took a vote,
like you got the whole neighborhood out.
Yeah, we all agreed. It was looking good.
Just having this proud suburban dad moment.
It was. I got to get more topsoil, but here's the point of the story.
Cracking a crispy boy.
Yeah.
Got your Crocs on.
No Crocs. Flippy floppies, though. I'm at Walmart getting the topsoil because it's going to eventually be mud. I'm not going to overpay for it. And they have it for $1 for, you know, 3/4 of a cubic yard of it. So I was buying 20 bags. And, you know, it's directional lanes of traffic. Okay. But remember, put in your head, you're in that part of the parking lot with all the stuff. All right.
Chris, first off, it's Walmart. There's no rules.
That's kind of where this is going. As I pulled in, I noticed there was a truck facing me, but it was pointed the wrong direction. They'd gone the wrong way up the lane. And so that means, you know, you have to go over like 2 more lanes, kind of go down, do a U-turn and come back to be close to where you wanted to be. But you can't be where you wanted to be because that guy pulled up the wrong way. But he's loading his truck full of mulch. It's easy to be mad at him. I like to do this thing where I go, man, why would you park like that? But then I go, you know what? Like, A, I wouldn't park like that. But also, B, I wouldn't have this setup. Walmart's got a lousy setup out here in the parking lot. So it's not entirely that guy's fault. Walmart's got enough space. Fair. They could just do that inside and have some hand carts or whatever. So it's not entirely that guy's fault. Maybe he just made a simple mistake. But he is loading mulch. Like, I don't expect him to haul it all across the other direction. And, by the way, he's loading mulch. It wouldn't change anything if he was pointed the right direction. I'm still not getting through. So I park. You have to take a picture of the topsoil you want, right? They put the little emblem out there and they tell you, take a picture of this, come in and show it to us, tell us how much you want. Well, there was none on the topsoil I wanted. There was no picture. So I had to just pick a bag up and I carry it inside. And the lady literally looked, I thought this was great. She looks at me and she goes, is that all for you today? And I thought, what if I did do all this for this one bag of topsoil? It's one little bit. And I said, well, there's no price on it out there. Not your fault, obviously. I'd like to know how much it is, though, and I'm going to tell you how many I'll take. She goes, okay. So she rings up. It's like $1 something, like $1.12. And I have, you know, money's no object to me and my family. So I take 20. And whoa. Yeah. The best part, by the way, this is true. God is my witness. She goes, 20, right? I said, 20. So she, like she can't scan once and press 20, which is what I thought you would be able to do. She literally scans it 20 times. And then I think.
Did you whisper at her when that happened? Did you go, this is why Amazon's beating you?
No, what I did is I counted in my head till she got to 15 and then reset the count to like 12, you know,
nice,
trying to get free stuff.
Nice.
Anyway, it went the wrong way and I paid more than I should.
Just start blurting out numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I should have skipped ahead. When she got to 15, I said 18 out loud and then she scanned, you know, a couple more and it's 20.
Live and learn.
Yeah. Now I know. It was just a joke and I screwed it up. Anyway. All right. But true story. She rings up 20 times and then I pay the $25 total, whatever it was. Again, money's no object. I don't even look. And as I grab the bag of dirt off the scanner thing, that lady literally said to me, 20. I said, 20. She goes, so it's that one plus 19 though, okay? I was like, I know how to get to 20. Like, I don't know how to tell you this. I know what the number 20 is.
I was just thinking, when you said money is no object, I was thinking,
right,
we didn't go to SHOT Show this year.
No.
So you and I were supposed to go.
Yeah.
That got canceled.
Yeah.
So probably next year. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that because money's no object to you.
You watch.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Side note, though. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to bring the Walmart lady, because she's going to be like our rain man at the blackjack table.
She can keep her numbers straight.
Exactly.
Hey, it's 2-1 odds. I'm going to bet 20. What is that? I just thought it was so funny. It just tickled me that I paid for 20 and picked one up, and she wanted to go, ah, it's 19 plus that one. Like, as if I assumed, ha-ha, I got you. I get this one plus 20.
But I will
my
say,
$1.12.
I'm actually pretty impressed because I feel like most people at Walmart don't care.
No.
And they'd be like, all right, man, whatever.
Yeah.
And you could literally probably load up all of them.
Yeah.
And nobody would care. Like, nobody'd say a word to you.
I could see a scenario where you walk in to pay for it, and little Timmy behind the register is like, we got to charge people for that dirt.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait, since when dirt ain't free?
No kidding. All right. Not the point of the story. Point of the story is, so I go out, I've got 20 bags of dirt to load into the truck. I don't know, each bag weighs 10 pounds, maybe. I don't know. Sure. Something like that. I don't know, maybe a little more. Anyway, so I start like chunking the dirt into the back of my truck. Now, remember the truck I talked about, he's parked the lane next to me now, and he's facing in the wrong direction, okay? And I'm loading dirt next to him. And here is the life lesson I learned from this experience. You can be one of two people. You can be the person, who I think we all are, who sees that guy as soon as you pull in the parking lot. You're paying attention to the life you're living, and you're watching things happen around you, and you're responding accordingly. Or you can be the lady that pulled in as I was loading my dirt, who pulls up within 10 feet of him and honks and rolls her window down and yells out at him, "You know you're going the wrong way." And he goes, "I'm loading mulch. On my life, God is my witness again." That lady rolled the window up and sat there and waited. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I got all my dirt loaded. Okay, 20 bags of dirt, one dude. I get all the dirt. And by the way, I'm not slinging it. What I'm having to do is I'm grabbing three at a time, and I had to do about seven trips, three at a time, and then walk across the lane of traffic to my truck. Because, again, it's all blocked. You can't park.
Did you just admit that you just took 21 bags?
I took 20. Seven trips.
That's not what you said. You said
it was
three.
About seven trips.
I'm not a mathlete.
What
three
if I did?
Three times seven, though, Chris.
It's 21.
Just saying.
Which really means I would have taken 22 because I had that one in the register.
Ooh.
Aren't I a slick Willie?
Stick that one in the front seat or something?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm going to hide it. My point is, as many times as it took me back and forth, it was seven times I had to walk from my truck, cross the lane of traffic over to the pile of dirt, grab two or three bags and take them over back and forth. That woman just sat there.
You just sat there. Should have gone over and been like, hey, lady, I'm loading mulch too. It's like rolls the window down.
What would have been great?
We're loading mulch. And she just.
So you have to imagine.
Closes the window back.
So she's in a lane of traffic, and then there's parking spaces, and then there's the parking spaces, you know, facing those parking spaces. Then there's the lane of traffic, and then my truck in another parking space, right? So what I really should have done is pulled around behind her and parked.
You should have honked your horn.
Yeah, I just parked and start loading into my truck, and then she's trapped fully. But that woman sat there out of spite and waited for that guy to be done. And then, as soon as he got in his truck, she turned the car, I don't know if she had it off or on, put the car in drive and started driving towards him and made him back down the lane and go out the other way. And I thought, man, it's so weird to me that there are people, we all deal with them all the time, who will make their own life more miserable to prove some sort of point to you rather than just looking at it and going, who cares? Get on. Okay, here's an example. You and I had a conversation the other day about someone's feedback on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you, who cares? Who cares? Because that guy did nothing to contribute to what we did.
Right.
So he gets no say in after-the-fact criticism of what we did. My brother made a comment on the phone the other day where he said, it's much harder to create than it is to criticize. So if you're someone who's creating things, you can never, ever, ever stop to listen to what critics have to say. Because all they'll do is beat you down, right? So you have to go into a mode where you go, I'm going to do what I do, and either people will appreciate it or they won't, but I have to plow forward because at least I'm trying, at least I'm doing something, right?
One of my favorite quotes ever is a Leonard Bernstein quote. He said, I've been all over the world. I've never seen a statue of a critic.
Exactly. And that woman was a critic today. And all she was doing was honking and weeping and wailing because somebody parked the wrong way. And it didn't even have to be an inconvenience to her. You could see it as soon as you pulled in. And even if you didn't, she could have backed out. There's nobody behind her. She could have backed all the way out, driven around and gone, because I need to be very clear about something. At the end of it, I watched her as the truck had to back out and go. She kept going and then went all the way to the other side of the Walmart. You know how there's like the outdoor section of the Walmart and then there's the grocery section of the Walmart. She drove all the way over to the grocery section.
She was looking for GMO bananas.
Yeah. Non-GMO bananas. Something was GMO in her this time of the month. She was like really angry. And so I thought to myself, boy, howdy, that is like the living example of everything you just don't want to be. Like every negative character trait I can imagine in a person that woman displayed today. Maybe she's just having a bad day. We all have them. But I couldn't help but think, what an absurd way to live your life where you are willing to be inconvenienced. Like, it's really what we all deal with where that person has nothing more to contribute. And so what they'll do is just stand there.
Speaking on everybody else's parade.
Exactly. Speaking of great quotes, Dennis Miller made one on Bill O'Reilly once where he said, contrariety is the rhetoric of the ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a play on profanity is the rhetoric of the ignorant, right? But I thought it was so smart because it is. It's like when I have nothing to contribute to the conversation, I'll just disagree.
Yep.
I don't think that'll work. I don't think that's the right way to do that. Okay, add something. Well, I don't have anything to add. Then shut up. Shut up. And anyway, that's what that woman was doing today. And I just thought, sorry, what an example of everything you shouldn't be. Because she could have been kind and forgiving and shown a little grace and just gone the other way.
She could have gone the other way and probably been in and out before that guy was done loading.
Oh, easy. I'm telling you, it took me, I'd say it's about 20, 25 minutes to go in and pay. Come back out, get all the dirt in the truck, and then get on my way. Probably a half hour process.
That is actually insanity, I think.
To sit there like that and wait? Yeah. It's wild, isn't it?
To prove what point?
She was right. She was right.
And you know, do you think the guy that was facing the wrong way thinks she was right?
I bet he's laughing about it like we are now.
Exactly.
So no is the answer.
I mean, you don't.
Right.
So who else that witnessed it does?
Right. Because
she probably went home, got on Facebook, and told everybody she knows. You're not going to believe what this guy at Walmart did.
I'll tell you what she did. She went home and made one of those posts. Ladies, be careful at Walmart. Today, while trying to peacefully shop, a man parked his truck in the wrong direction, obviously trying to trap me so he could traffic me. Well, mama ain't giving her sugar away for free. Mm-mm. Something like that. You ever see those posts? Those are my favorite.
Yes.
Girl, nobody's trying to kidnap you.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. Enough's enough. Hey, by the way, speaking of angry critics who have never done anything, two people come to mind. Ilhan Omar and AOC. Did you see that AOC got ranked like one of the least effective members of Congress?
Yes, I did.
So here we are.
I like that they had to commission a study to figure that out.
Right.
That's the best part.
Right.
I mean, like, they could have just probably given us, like you and me, like they could have called us up and been like, hey, what's your favorite beer?
Right, yeah.
And we could have told them everything they needed to know. Yeah. I tell you what, we should actually offer that service for the next congressional session.
I'm going to say you're right. I'm also going to say any company interested in that can send us the six-pack. We will split it even Stevens and then deliver it to them in an audio format, much like what you're experiencing now, whatever it is they need to know. That'd be easy.
We're just those kind of guys.
Find us the least effective members of Congress and done. I'm going to not make comments about. I can't. All right. Somebody recently, I was going to go on a tangent about him being ineffective. Doesn't matter. All right. Ilhan Omar.
We said Congress, so.
Okay. So when you say, here's an interesting thing, but when you say a member of Congress, do you only think the House?
No, yeah. Not really.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing I do sometimes is when somebody says, you know, and I had to ask a teacher this one time, like people say Congressman so-and-so for the House. Yeah. And then it's always senator, but they're both members of Congress.
Well, but it's the houses of Congress, right?
Right.
Which is why it's confusing because there's the House and the Senate.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, yep. But yeah.
Anyway. All right. God. So Ilhan Omar and AOC come to mind because they're critics who contribute nothing. AOC on the study. Ilhan Omar, so we have this Muslim who... And I thought this was funny, by the way. I was told this week that the Nation of Islam is not Islam, like Muslims or Islam. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
I didn't either. I say they are when it comes to needlessly killing people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But apparently there's a difference there, which I didn't. I mean, I know like the Nation of Islam is the militant black segment of Islam. I get that. But that's kind of what Muhammad was, you know? Be it he was Arab, but he's very militant. So, if anything, they're the more fundamentalists of them. Anyway, it doesn't matter too much, except that we had this Louis Farrakhan fanboy kill a Capitol Police officer on purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay, something the people on January 6th did not do, by the way, that we now know. And the media's kind of crickets on it. But Ilhan Omar took to Twitter to say, thank God he didn't have an AR-15. Or the death toll could have been much more catastrophic, which I found interesting because people of her faith used airplanes to kill 3,000 people and yet no AR-15 needed, right?
So that's a hot take, sir.
I kind of feel like of all the people who get to have a say in the weapons we will and will not own in the United States, which, by the way, is not a conversation worth having because it's all of them is the answer. We're allowed to have all of them pretty clearly written. She's the last one allowed to talk about any of it. But here she is weighing in because there's, you know, there's a popular sentiment. And I want to say this, by the way, simply because this is on my mind. Can we please get beyond the it's not an assault rifle crap? All right. You remember the founding fathers put in our founding documents that when government grows to be contrary of its intended purpose, that's the right of the people to alter or abolish it. So it's an assault rifle for that reason, if you need it to be. It's also an assault rifle if, let's just say, you get surrounded by people trying to kill you and your families, and you need to go on the offensive to create a good defense, right? I'm just kind of over, like, there's this pretentious highbrow segment of the gun society, and they act like any verbiage with which the left could have a field day. See, he called it an assault rifle. That's what he's doing, you know, that we should back down for some reason and choose our words wisely. Like, we have to play their game all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, it says shall not be infringed, see in court. Supreme Court says it's an inalienable individual right, see in court. Like, stand firm. Stop being so, I lost my boat, my guns in a boating accident. Nobody cares. It's not funny anymore. Like, you know, move beyond it, grow a pair, and start engaging people in bold but polite conversations.
Yeah, the term modern sporting rifle kind of makes my skin crawl.
Stupid.
It's really, really dumb.
Yeah. Yep. Anti.
And I think it was invented by people who were trying to avoid an argument.
Right. Sure.
And cowards. While I understand that, because, well, I wouldn't even say cowards. Mm. I don't want to argue with liberals because I don't want to talk.
It's annoying.
So I think that's legitimately why that term was coined. I think that was like, well, we'll just call them modern sporting rifles and nobody will pay any attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it didn't really catch on, first of all.
It's not doing us a service.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
It's like little pockets here and there where, like, people in the industry want to call them that, And that's very annoying because that's just not what they are.
Right.
Modern in what sense of the word? I mean, the AR was invented
the 50s.
In the 50s, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't really see where there's a connection there. If I'm thinking modern, that's not what I'm thinking.
And truth be told, the guys that treat shooting like a sport are shooting 22 long rifles. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're out there shooting
high-powered rifles, sir.
Yeah, right. But they're mainly shooting light loads, and they're not training for any sort of combat. They're just training to shoot fast because right. That's what they enjoy doing. And that's all well and good, but that would be a modern sporting rifle, would be essentially a free-floated bolt rifle in 22. Yeah, semi-auto, not bolt. Semi-auto in 22. And not in an AR platform most of the time. These guys shoot these fancy rigs that are all set up. Yep. You know, the what's the Ruger that's like that? I can't think of it. Doesn't matter. But the point is, that's what they're shooting, these wood-stocked 22s. And 9mm now is a big deal.
Yep.
Pistol caliber carbines. So they're not using AR-15s for sport at all. I can't think. I'm trying to think of a time I've ever been to a shooting match where they were shooting ARs.
And three gun does, but.
Well, there you go. Mean, that's fair.
Outside of that, not a lot.
Yeah. The majority of the guys sport shooting aren't using ARs.
No.
That's the real point. So anyway, all that to say, Omar weighs in, and I found that comical because we can't have AR-15s. But people that, by the way, she has publicly sympathized with, she's very anti-Semitic, and she has openly sympathized with some terrible people. Those are her people. And we know what they did with airplanes and jet fuel. So there's that. All right, let's talk about our voto of the week, which is, I don't know, maybe my favorite. Maybe my favorite in a long time. Oh, that's a good one. Here we go.
I'm an ambitious officer.
One voter. Everybody knows the rules.
I need to be a part of the 100 Club.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
What is it?
Major League Baseball.
Oh, well.
Major League Baseball.
Should have known.
Should have. I teased it at the top. This is what I didn't know, which is what makes them vote it. Like, they're stupid for their stance on pulling the All-Star game out of Georgia. I thought the Georgia governor's press conference was really extraordinary, where he came out and asked them when they were going to leave New York, and then he went through all the New York voting laws. That was awesome. Major League Baseball has expanded its contract now with the Chinese firm Tencent, streaming service that briefly blocked the NBA because National Basketball Association players were supporting Hong Kong. Well, now it's back on. And the deal with Tencent gives the firm rights to continue streaming Major League Baseball games in China until 2023. Additionally, the contract will allow Tencent to broadcast MLB games in other Asian countries like Thailand, Malaysia, and Indonesia. Hey, by the way, totally related to this. Here's a story from March 30th, 2021. That's this year, just a few days ago. On CNN, CNN.com. China's government has passed a new law that will drastically restrict the right of Hong Kongers to stand for election and reshape the city's parliament, further entrenching Beijing's power over the supposedly semi-autonomous territory. In a unanimous and unsurprising decision Tuesday, the Standing Committee of the National People's Congress, China's rubber stamp parliament, endorsed proposed changes to how Hong Kong lawmakers and the city's leaders are chosen. So prior to these changes, Hong Kong's 70-seat legislature was more or less split between directly elected seats and so-called functional constituencies, seats chosen by trade and industry bodies that usually favor Beijing. In theory, opposition parties could win a majority in the body by taking almost every elected seat and just a handful of functional constituencies, enabling them to have a major say in how their city is governed. Well, Tuesday a week ago, that'll no longer be possible. Under the new system, the legislature will expand to 90 seats, with 40 of those to be chosen by a newly empowered, mostly government-appointed election committee. So there's that for MLB to consider. Isn't it funny? Is it just anti-white sentiment? Is there going to reach a point where we're going to be allowed to say Major League Baseball just doesn't like white people?
Maybe. Mm. Here's the thing that I think's strange about all this. China, as powerful as it is,
yes,
and as much of a grasp as it has on its people
mm-hmm.
and what they can consume in terms of media and sports and all that kind of stuff. It's strange to me that they don't have their own Major League Baseball and that they would even want a piece of the American one. I guess there's obviously a reason for that.
Mm-mm.
It seems like they want a controlling interest in it.
Oh, I got you.
Fair to say.
I got you. Yeah, that would make sense.
Because what other reason is there?
I don't know.
So
I would say, I guess I would say that there's an appeal there to their people. So they know they can sell it to them at a premium, but I don't know.
And that may be part of it, but I think China has its claws in Hollywood. If you take American sports next, what else is there?
It's true.
They've got academics.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they've got half of our government.
The White House, for sure.
Yeah.
Hardly a joke.
No, I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, you know, it's tough to consider that there's such big countries or such big companies that do business with China, and then we as a country do such big business with China. It's hard to fathom because it really is a wicked, evil government. It's beautiful people in a beautiful place, and they're literally being tortured, and they're being brainwashed and subjugated, and they're taught things about us that make them hate us, and we do nothing about it. We exploit them, really. You know, everything in our homes, I'm guilty of it, and I don't know what the answer is to it, but it's just an interesting dynamic. And if somebody, you know, that is one thing I liked about Trump. The man had a backbone, and he had the principle to stand on, and he wasn't going to be bullied into doing business with people like that. Anyway, all right, this week's runner-up, by the way, as we call it the end of the show here, CBS News interview with Hunter Biden. You see this?
Oh, man.
Hunter Biden has admitted that when he was addicted to crack cocaine, he would smoke Parmesan cheese because it resembled the drug. The president's son telling CBS News he would search through carpeting trying to find traces of crack and would sometimes come up with cheese instead, saying, quote, "I probably smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone." That's the president's son.
That the president said was one of the smartest men he's ever known.
Holy smokes.
We are in deep trouble.
Good grief. All right. New episodes of the Felt Recall podcast delivered to you freshly packed every Tuesday, wherever you like to get your podcasts. In the meantime, in between time, find out more about us at FeltRecoilShow.com. That is FeltRecoilShow.com. The audio and videos we've referenced in this week's show can be found on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FeltRecoilShow. We'll see you in a week.